Hello and welcome to Really Cool People, a podcast produced by Switzer Church. I'm your host, Jason Leininger. This is a place to hear stories of really cool people. And the hope is that in meeting them, you and I will be inspired, encouraged, and challenged through moments of serendipity. In a sermon entitled The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis said, "There are no ordinary people. You and I have never talked to a mere mortal." It's my joy in the next few moments to introduce you to someone who, in their own frame of mind, may think of themselves as just an ordinary person. But when we hear their story, we find out that they are a really cool person. Today we're going to meet Lori Rogers. She grew up in snow country. Then she moved south and she found herself in Springfield, Missouri, making a life, having fun, sharing a life with her husband and her family. Let's welcome Lori and listen to her really cool story. Today, we're glad to welcome Lori Rogers. And Lori, let's start with your story.
Well, I can't say it's really very exciting, but I was born in, 1958 in a little town in South Dakota, Watertown, South Dakota, northeast corner. And I lived there, until I was in my 20s. And when I think back on my childhood and everything, in retrospect, I feel like I lived the, I laugh and say it was like the Leave It to Beaver life. I had two great parents, three siblings. We were a close-knit family, had two living grandmothers that lived next door to each other, ironically. My mom had a twin sister. My dad had three brothers. They all had four kids. And so we had a lot of family things that we did, holidays and birthdays. And that was a lot of fun. I went to a small Lutheran college in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That was back in 76. And I was a biology major. I wanted to be a high school biology teacher. But then when it was time to graduate in 1980, there was a glut of teachers. And so here it is January, and it's like, what on earth am I going to do? But somebody made a suggestion. They said, check into physical therapy. So I talked to the director of physical therapy in my hometown, and got an internship set up for the month of January and loved it. And so then I went ahead and applied to go to physical therapy school, University of Kansas in Kansas City, and University of Oklahoma in Oklahoma City. Got accepted to both, but got better financial aid to go to Oklahoma City. So that's where I went. And graduated there in 82 with my degree, stayed there and worked, and that's where I met my husband. He was doing his internship and residency in internal medicine, and the day my roommate and I were moving into our apartment, it was, it had been 100 degrees for weeks, and I didn't have a key. And the office was closed, and bless his heart, he let us in, and we got a hold of the keys. But that's when I met Jim, and I stayed and worked in Oklahoma City for, 6-7 years. And we started dating in that time, and then he took a job here in Springfield, and I would commute back and forth. And then one weekend he asked me to marry him, and I'd already asked him like three times why we didn't get married, but he'd always said you don't make major life decisions in times of stress, and those were some stressful times for him. But one weekend he asked me to marry him, and I said, he said, well, why don't we get married? And I said, I don't know. Why don't we? And so then I left and drove home, and called him back and said, "Were you serious?" And he said, "Yeah." So that's what we did. We got married here in 1985 here at Schweitzer, when it was just, well, the Fellowship Center was the sanctuary. And we've been members of Schweitzer ever since. We had three children, two boys and a girl, and I got to be able to be home and be a full-time mom. He was very supportive of that. I did work as a physical therapist when we first moved here, and then until I had my second baby. But then he said, "You know, I think it's time that you stay home." And that was really a gift. There was days I thought it would have been easier to go to work than stay home with three kids. But he was super. He was super. So I did the mom thing and did all the things I wanted to do. I mean, I always wanted to be a Girl Scout leader. I wanted to be a homeroom mom. I wanted to be Sunday school teacher, just all those kind of things. And I had lots of opportunities to do that, for which I was really grateful. I was blessed with a, as I said, very supportive spouse. And he just really, as I always said, that he couldn't have done the things he did unless I was able to do what I did. And so that was excellent. We did a lot of things as a family. We would, we'd go out to Colorado. He had a medical conference out there every summer, but we'd take the kids, we'd drive all night, and then stay out there for the week. And the kids would go to kids camp during the morning, and then he'd do his class. But then in the afternoon, we'd go out and do things as a family. And really enjoyed that. We didn't do really ginormous trips or anything like that, but we would go to Disney because it was fun and the kids liked it and got us away. We did a lot of things at home. We had projects, lots of projects. Kids might not have liked that so much, but they kind of lived with the motto, "Work first, play later." Kids grew up, two of them went to school at Drury, and one went up to college in at Rockhurst in Kansas City. And now everybody's married, we've got grand dogs, no grandkids. One daughter and her husband still live in Kansas City, and then the other two and their spouses live here in town. I've just done some odds and ends. I did retail here for a while, just because I felt I needed to get a job because I hadn't worked in years, just needed to do something else. And so I did that, and then did a lot of volunteering. Did Safe to Sleep, did a lot of Bible school here at Schweitzer. Just different opportunities that would come up. For a while, we had cattle, and so would help with that. Then we had a restaurant for a while. That was a challenge, and learned an awful lot, met great people. And now we're just kind of at the retirement stage. I figure Jim will probably retire in the next few years, and that will be another adventure, kind of learning where we are as a couple again and all that. And we're kind of easing into it. He's working part-time now, so always have projects. We're doing some rental houses right now, which has been interesting. I've learned a lot. There's some things I'd like to learn to do more, home repair-wise and all that, but life is good right now. So it's kind of my background.
Lori, that's a beautiful background.
I've been blessed, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's a beautiful background. From South Dakota to Oklahoma City and Springfield and a lot of other things in between. Let's go back to the time when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. And living in South Dakota. How is South Dakota compared to Southwest Missouri?
Flat. It's very flat. And, you know, the weather up there has changed now, but I lived across the street from my elementary school. And I remember in the winter, we would have snow up to our roof line. And my dad had a snow blower. And he'd take it out and walk around the block and do people's walks and all that kind of thing. And he had a rule that anytime we had snow, we had to go out and shovel before we went to school because he didn't want the snow trampled on the sidewalk and it'd be slippery. So we did a lot of shoveling. Summers were great. We had my grandparents had a lake house and we would spend a lot of time out there. He'd take a week off in the summer and we'd live out there, eat breakfast on the porch and all that, swim every day and garden and just, it was great.
When'd your dad do?
He was a retailer. His father had started a men's clothing store, Larson's Clothing, and my dad and his two brothers worked and ran it there. All us kids worked in there at some time in our life. We sold men's clothing, and it was really kind of fun. I remember they had one building that my grandpa started the business in, and then they bought another bigger building just down the street a ways, and I remember spending nights there working and just getting everything ready to open and learned a lot about men's clothing and...
Did you have any unique encounters or unique stories that came out of working in your dad and grandpa's store?
Oh, I don't know. My dad and his two brothers all had the same sequence of kids. It was two girls, a boy, and a girl. And so I don't know what the other families did, but I know I wore a lot of boys' clothing. And never bothered me because it's just what we did.
Yeah.
You know, another thing we did in South Dakota a lot was we would go ice fishing and just drive out on the lake. He didn't put up an ice shack or anything, but he always had a shovel and he'd take all of his kids, let mom stay home, take a nap on a Sunday afternoon. And then we would, he'd shovel and then we'd ice skate and he would, auger his holes, and he would keep them open by putting charcoal in a 3-pound coffee can. And then we would have wiener roasts and that kind of thing over the... We thought it was great fun.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then I can remember, oh gosh, Halloween, there was always snow. We'd have these great costumes, we thought. But you put your winter coat on it and go trick-or-treating, and it was kind of lost. I remember going and learning how to cross-country ski, and I remember the wind chill was 52 below. But we dressed for it, and we went into, I think it was Newton Hills State Park, and dug out the little fire bins and started fire and cooked hot dogs and all that kind of thing and cross-country skied, and it's great.
How do you keep your face warm when it's 52 degrees below?
Well, you just wore those little head masks, yeah. You know, that yeah. All that's out there are your eyes.
Yeah.
But he always dressed us for the winter. We were always warm and well taken care of in that respect.
Wow. What'd your mom do?
She was a stay-at-home mom. Before she had kids, she had been a teacher, and she had also been a church secretary. And I think back on all the things she did with four little toads, because we were close together. I think two of us were 2 years apart. Then there was 3 years, and then there was two more. And I mean, she was just super. She did a lot of stuff with us kids, and she was your, I guess, classic homemaker back then. I can remember a neighbor saying, "Yes, I see your mom's kitchen light on, and she's down there washing the floor when everybody else is in bed, because that's when she had time to do it." And she took good care of her mom and my other grandma, and she instilled in us kids that you need to take care of other people. I can remember that there was a neighbor that lived a block away. He was a widower. And every couple weeks or whatever, she would pack up a box, put a hot meal in it and some other things. And then we would walk up there and take it to Clarence. And, you know, it was just something we did, you know.
Did you ever take your kids up there? I mean, did you have like family that lived up there? So you take your kids?
Yeah, when they were little, we went up. Oh, I guess it was the year Ben was born. We went up there at Christmas and decided we would never go back in the winter again. It was just a little too dicey then. But yes, we would go up in the summers and we would have family reunions, especially with my mom's side of the family. My mom died on her 52nd birthday, and she had a twin sister, and they had five kids, and we had all grown up together as well. And my dad had remarried, and so then we'd have the reunions out at my dad and Nellie's house. And the cousins would come, and their kids would come, and my kids have good memories of that.
What's your I grew up with a bunch of cousins around me, and those are special memories.
Absolutely.
What are some of your special memories about your cousins?
Gosh.
I bet there's stories. When you have cousins, you have stories.
Yes.
You can tell them here. It's safe.
Well, I can remember my sister Jean and I would go and stay out at the farm. We thought that was great fun because we were city kids. And I can remember, I don't know what we were doing, but they had a burn barrel. And we got in and started burning stuff in that burn barrel. And I don't know, we were taking stuff out of the garage and all this kind of thing. And my uncle came home for lunch on the tractor, and he was livid that we were out there doing that. And I just remember they had a row of these old yellow chairs sitting up on the wall in the kitchen, and there was five of us kids sitting there, and he was just angry. Didn't say a whole lot, but you could just see it, and I just thought, oh, he's going to tell my folks. But I don't know that he ever did, but, oh, I remember that one. And then another time, they had just put up all the hay, and we went and jumped in all that hay and knocked all that hay down. And we didn't get brownie points for that one either. Well, and then another time, they had a big gas tank, natural gas tank or whatever. And I remember we were just out there messing around with the dials and all this kind of thing. We didn't know anything about it because we'd never seen it, you know, and the cousins, they were, I don't know, they were willing to go ahead with that. So we got a talking to with that one as well. And then they'd come and stay with us, and, you know, we'd go and stay at the lake, and they thought that was great fun. And my dad would get a camper, and we kids would get to stay in that, and then Dad and Mom and the two little kids would stay in the house, but the rest of us would be out in the camper, and that was great.
Yeah. How did you, growing up with that kind of environment, tight, and your mom was a homemaker, your dad was in this business, how did you find the way, the encouragement to go off to school? And was that natural? Was that like expected?
My parents were very, you know, they wanted us to have good educations. And Well, I can remember my dad was out working in the garden one day, and I kept saying, what if I go to college and I still don't know what I want to do? And he said, well, you can always get married. And I thought, well, that's kind of a cop-out. And so, you know, I didn't know what to do when I couldn't be a teacher. I did not want to go back and stay in Watertown, because it was maybe 17,000 people was all it was. Mm-hmm. And it was the fifth biggest city in the state. And so going to Oklahoma City was a good choice, a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no regrets.
Were your grandmothers alive when you went through college and then down to Oklahoma City?
Yes, I think they both passed away when I was in Oklahoma City, but they were both in a nursing home at the time. Mm-hmm. And I can remember I'd worked in the nursing home. I'd taken care of both of them. And when I would come home from undergraduate, I'd go down and see my grandmas, and Grandma Johnson always liked date-filled cookies. I don't know why. I'm a trivia rememberer for these little things. But she loved these date cookies. And so I'd go and pick some up at the bakery, and we'd just sit and have coffee in her room. And just, it was wonderful. You know, I was just really blessed with my family.
You look back at those times in your life. Do you have like two or three principles that you've picked up out of those moments that you carry with you, and that you've maybe are markers that show up in other parts of your life?
Well, be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. And if you can do something to help somebody, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't second guess yourself a lot on that. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say those are the ones that stick by.
Hmm. You said something really funny about your time dating Jim. You said it was like 7-8 years that you guys dated. You asked him three or four different times, why don't we just get married? And then he finally asked you that question. What do you think took him so long?
Well, he was going through internship and residency. He had to pass his boards, had to do all that. And, you know, I had graduated. I was working my first job in Oklahoma City, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to stay down here if there's not a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And but he stuck to his guns. He waited till he passed his boards and all that kind of thing. And
how did you stay so patient?
There were times I wasn't. And I remember I must have been complaining to my dad, because he'd say, well, I think you should just leave. So, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I didn't, because I've had the best helpmate for the last almost 39 years. That it's been good.
Yeah. Where was Jim from?
Arkansas. Little town called Hoxie.
So how was that taking him back to South Dakota?
He never complained about it. He liked it. He's just a family person. Mm-hmm. He really is. He likes people, and he enjoyed it. And he was just a big kid, you know, with all the other kids that were up there. Mm-hmm. And he would, oh gosh, he would play games and water fights and all that kind of thing. He was great. And we went up there actually this summer, and just he and I, and we went out hiking and such out in the Badlands and all that kind of thing. And he got to see that. We went to Wall Drug in South Dakota. I worked there for 2 summers.
Yeah.
Oh, golly, that was an adventure. But, you know, I learned a lot. I met great people. And
you see a lot of things at Wall Drug in the summertime.
Oh, yes. We always thought we were such smart alecks back then. People would come in and they'd say, do y'all have a bathroom? And they'd say, yes. And that's it. We thought we were pretty smart, you know. But, yeah, it was good. It was good. I met, I worked in Western wear because I sold clothes, men's clothing before. So that was kind of an easy fit. And I remember the lady that ran it, her name was Stella. And she was a tough cookie. She was, some of them called her the little bulldog because she was short. She was very curt and she either liked you or she didn't. I loved her. She was awesome. Oh, she was great. But
that's fantastic. That's a, yeah, just fantastic ways that people impress themselves upon us, mm-hmm. who have salt of the earth, just goodness in them. And mm-hmm. it's fantastic to remember them. Three kids. After the second one, you stayed home, became a stay-at-home mom.
I did.
And then you said there were times you felt like it probably would have been easier to go to work.
Oh, sure. Than to stay home. Ginny and Ben were 14 months apart. And, Ginny was, we always thought she was easy because we had nothing to compare her to. Mm-hmm. First one's always good, you know? Yeah. You're lulled into this thing. Well, what's one more? It's going to be fine. Ben was a horrible baby. He didn't sleep through the night until he was probably a year and a half. Love that boy, though. And then we had Maggie, and she was a joy because there'd been some time in between. And I kept thinking, I don't ever remember Ben doing these things, you know? I was trying to survive then with just the two of them. But, and I was, like I say, so fortunate that Jim thought it was important to be home with the kids. Mm-hmm. And they'd go to daycare 2 days a week, and I'd always make it so I had one day a week with each one of them. We had a Ben and Mom a day, a Jenny and Mom a day, a Maggie and Mom a day. And they each had different things they liked to do. Jenny always wanted to go to the library, so we always went to the library. Hmm. Ben always wanted to go to Dunkin' Donuts and Bass Pro. We spent a lot of time at Bass Pro. And Maggie, she just wanted to do different things. You know, some days it was a library. Some days she just wanted to swim. Some days she just wanted to stay at home and piddle, you know. Mm-hmm. They were just all different.
Where'd you get that idea from, like to have a day with each of them?
I don't know where it came from, but I just, with the other two being so close together, I think I just always felt maybe they weren't, I was missing things or they weren't having enough one-on-one time. Hmm. You know, so it was really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a story about Susanna Wesley. I don't know if you ever spent much time hearing or listening about Susanna Wesley. Mm-hmm. The story goes she had somewhere between 18 and 21 kids. I think 6 or 7 of them made it to adulthood, but she tried as they were growing up. It was her goal and intention to spend an hour with each one a week, to have that special mother and child time with them. Mm-hmm. And then she too, like you, thought it would have been easier to go off to work, evidently with that many kids in the house and other things. So there are stories about when she really wanted quiet time, she would just throw her apron over her head and like, I'm there. I'm in my prayer closet.
Well, that's good. I do remember one time things had been, just stressful or whatever. And they were old enough. Oh, gosh, they were probably 7 and 8. And so Maggie was still little. And I said, I just need to leave. I need to leave. And so I got in my car and I drove over to the barn, which is just, you know, a little bit down the road. I just sat over there. And it was funny because when I came back, they just said, "We're so sorry. We were so awful," you know? Oh, God. It was interesting. It was interesting. And then I remember one day, I had a stained glass closet in the basement where I had done stained glass. And I just went in there and stayed. And they were down there looking for me. But yeah, sometimes you just needed to get away. And one time Maggie, oh, she was little. She was maybe 3, 4. And I don't know what had been going on that day, but she just put her hands on either side of my face and said, "It's okay, Mama. Tomorrow's going to be better." I tell you. Oh, they were great. They were great.
Yeah. You said you did a lot of projects at home, and probably one of the things that they learned was work first, play later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jim is always thinking of things to do. And I can remember one summer, we told the kids we were going to hire them because we were going to put on, we had one patio, and then we were going to put a second one on further down. Our house is out up against the Little Sauk River, and it's on an incline. So the project was to get all these rocks down to the second one so they could come in with pumper truck and put the concrete in. And so Jim rigged up this sled kind of thing. And he'd take the tractor, load the bucket up with the rocks and bring them over. And then the kids would have to help throw them into this sled. And then we'd lower it down to the bottom and dump them into this other patio. And I can remember telling him, I said, "Pay attention to this because this is what you do when you go to prison." I don't know why I told them that, but I did. And they were, and none of them have ever been to prison, so it made an impact. But I told them that, and then they would just work at it. Ben had a way of disappearing. He would go up the side of the house, and I mean, they weren't really terribly old even, but I remember, I think they were going to each get like $200, so that was their summer's money. And they always had to, save half of it. And then the other half, they had to give some to church. And then they had the other half the other piece that they could mm-hmm. spend. And so that's when they learned how to save, because Jim's always been big on, you got to plan for retirement. You got to plan for retirement. So all the kids are good on that. But that was one of the projects, and they thought it was great fun because we were able to throw an old lawnmower into this before we had the concrete. This is a big patio. I mean, old lawnmower, there's a refrigerator in there, all kinds of things.
You guys are like the mob, Baron Jimmy Hoffa or something like that.
But, oh gosh. But we had another time we put in a fire ring, and we laid pavers. And so they learned how to do that. They didn't like that either, but they worked at it. And then they helped. Jim made me a great raised bed garden. I mean, it's waist high. It's all rock all the way around, but they had to come in and help with that project too. And they kind of get project out.
Has that shown up in their adult lives?
Yes. Everybody wanted a house move-in ready, no repairs, no nothing. But it's good because they will call now and ask, "Could you come and help us?" Mm-hmm. You know, if they need something, because things are so expensive. Mm-hmm. And so Jim just gets really excited when they call and ask that, you know. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to transition from a a parent-child relationship to an adult-adult relationship with them. And so it's just really neat when they come and ask you for different mm-hmm. advice or whatever.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. When you think about your spiritual formation and that development.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
We were staunch Lutherans, and church was the social scene for a lot of it. I mean, every Sunday we were in church. My folks sang in the choir, and Mom would go in with the choir, and then Dad would march down with us four little toads and put us in the second row, always on the right-hand side, you know, and he'd leave us there and go up and sing, and then they'd both come back down and sit with us. And we had Sunday school, and at Christmas we had this event. It was called the Yule Tree Fest, and you made your decorations, and you'd go put them on the tree, and you'd go have a service, and then you'd come back down into the fellowship hall, and everybody joined hands, and you'd sing Christmas carols around the Christmas tree, and they served cookies and punch. Oh, we thought that was just such a great thing. But we had confirmation, and I'll be honest, the only trouble I ever got into was in confirmation. I got kicked out one day. And all my dad was just livid. He was really upset. And I remember I had to call my teacher and apologize and all this kind of thing. But and then I remember he had this little catechism book, and I remember he'd have us memorize some of that. And then on Saturday night, he would read the question, and you'd have to know the answer to that question. Mm. And that was intimidating, but it was all good. Mm-hmm. You know, we had confirmation camp, and it felt very secure. My mom, she always did, it was circle, kind of like UMW.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did that, and she did, I think it was something called Bethel Bible Studies, and that was kind of her night out where she'd go and she'd mm-hmm. do that. And we just had friends that were there, and faith was really important. And I can remember when you were 12 years old or so, we always had Christmas Eve at Grandma Larson's, and with all the grandchildren there, when you were 12, it was your turn to read the Christmas story. And I can remember practicing, you know, before it was my turn to do it, and I was just all so nervous. But it was big when we'd have our 4th of July celebration out at the lake. I mean, we'd all gather around, and we always sang, "Be present at our table, Lord." Mm-hmm. And growing up, I remember we always prayed before we ate. We prayed after we ate. And then we had family prayers. We'd all sit in the living room, and everybody'd go around and say their prayer, you know, whatever they needed to say. And then we always prayed the Our Father. And then there was another little prayer. Let's see. "I washed my hands this morning so very clean and white. I lent them both to Jesus to work for him till night. Little feet, be careful where you take me to. Anything for Jesus, only let me do." And then there was even a shorter one. "Jesus, dear, be real near. Nothing then I need fear." And we said those every night. Hmm. And that was good.
Yeah.
It was good to have a background, because faith just gets you through your life. You have to have something to believe in. And I didn't go to church a lot when I was in college, not until I got my first job. And I needed a day that was different, so I started going back to church. And then Jim would go. When we were in Oklahoma City, we would go together. And then we would go here at Schweitzer, But he worked two weekends out of the month, and I worked another, so we didn't get here very often. But then once we had kids, it became paramount to have them grounded. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that my parents were believers and saw value in that. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was super.
You mentioned that in the last few years, you've had cattle, you started a restaurant. Now what do you do for fun?
Well, now we're doing the rental houses. It's really been interesting. He was out working on the fence behind the restaurant, and ironically, somebody that he knew from Mercy, her husband was over there working on a house, and they got to talking, and he said, "Yeah, I'm getting this ready to sell." And so he and Jim kind of worked out a deal, and so we bought that house, and we rented it and still do to one of our employees because he was living over in some hotel-type situation out by I-44, and he needed stable housing. He needed a place he could get to work. You know, we were by buses and all that where we were located. So we did that, and then we had bought a piece of property north of town, farm, and it had two houses on it. So then we worked on getting the rock house up and going, and rented that. And then we just finished one over here in north side of town this summer. And that one's rented to a former employee of ours. And it's been great fun. I've learned a lot. And it's been fun.
What are a couple things that you've learned?
Oh, golly. I have learned, well, everybody knows this. It always takes longer than you think it should and costs mm-hmm. more.
Yep.
That never ceases to... I've accepted that. Jim hasn't. It's always too much. But I've learned how to... I'd never pulled up carpet. I'd never done painting. My dad always said, call so-and-so to come and do it. But Jim had done house repair. He'd taken down houses for his dad. And so he can do anything. I think I could put in a toilet now. I could, you know, all that kind of thing. So.
I've discovered that thanks to YouTube, you can do all kinds of things. If you have a question, just YouTube it, and somebody will probably teach you how to do it. Mm-hmm. Probably everything except internal medicine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's been great.
Yeah.
It really has.
Then one of the last things you said was that you and Jim are trying to figure out what it means to connect again as you head off into retirement. What are you looking forward to? And what are some of the things that you're doing to connect again?
Well, we've figured we're going to make it because we did take our first vacation, just the two of us together this past summer in, I don't know, probably almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we didn't kill each other. So that's one positive thing.
Yeah.
But one of the hard things is you're so used to being independent and doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me anyway to let somebody in and help me because he says, I know, you can do it yourself. But it's hard to ask for help. Hmm. And I think the other thing is just remember to appreciate each other because there's a lot of things you take for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, I take it for granted. He's going to go to work. He's going to make the income. We're going to pay the bills or whatever. But then by the same token, there's certain things that he figures I'm going to take care of. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's part of the partnership. Mm-hmm. But you have to watch that you don't take the other for granted. Hmm. That's for sure.
I like to ask at the end of a conversation like this, if you've got a final word of advice or something you'd like to leave with us.
I think it would be just live ready. Be ready for whatever comes your way. can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. You're going to deal with it. And just remember to be kind to people. Take a little extra time. Talk to the person that's waiting your table. You know, tell somebody you're glad they're there today or whatever. Those would be, I think, my two things.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. This was great fun.
Oh, it was fun. So glad you came in and so glad we could have this conversation.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
A big thank you to Lori for sharing her story. In listening to Lori, I hope that you found yourself inspired, encouraged, and challenged. And then you begin to behold the really cool people that are around you each and every day. This podcast is produced by Schweitzer Church, Springfield, Missouri. Taylor Likes is our executive producer and editor. And I'm your host, Jason Leininger. You can help us by liking, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Until next time, stay cool.